Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Now, a second scripture lesson from the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are some figures in Scripture that I find it easy to relate to. Is that true for you? I hope it is, that the heroes of our faith, especially when we can see ourselves in their shoes, help us to make Scripture and this journey of faith come alive. For example, when we think about Peter walking out onto the water, I can just about feel myself sinking, because I know what it is to take that first brave step and then to become immediately terrified. When we hear about Thomas wrestling with his doubts, I think about every question I've ever been too afraid to ask. Or dropping off our girls at the first day of school, I was so glad not to be Moses' mother. But still, there was a feeling of helplessness as they walked away from me and into their new classrooms. And my prayer was probably much like hers, that God would watch over them as they left me standing there, helpless and afraid. At different times in my life, I felt something like most all of them, even the villains like Pilate and Pharaoh. However, it is hard for me to think about Nicodemus. Because I know what it's like to be him just a little too much. I walk in his shoes just a little too often. He's just a little bit too familiar, a little too much like me. Or I'm a little bit too much like him, and this struggle of his is my own struggle. Maybe it's yours too. Do you know what it's like to only fully feel the freedom to admit that you need something when you are sure that no one else is listening? Do you know what it's like to not have anyone else to talk to about your struggles? Do you know what it's like to feel the pressure of presenting yourself as whole, self-sufficient, strong, impenetrable, and flawless in the light of day while falling asleep every single night, exhausted from pretending that you have it all together when you know that you don't? Nicodemus. The scripture lesson from the Gospel of John comes around every year, so I have to dread it every year, and I dread it because in dealing with him, I have to deal with me. I must look again into my own heart, and it's hard. Because every preacher thinks he's supposed to be perfect while knowing that he's not. Every father feels insufficient under his suit of armor. Every husband wants to provide more for his wife and must struggle to believe that his spouse could really love him for who he is. Not a single one of us wants to live in a glass house because there are insecurities that we want to keep hidden from our neighbors who are watching and judging us all the time. So at night, Nicodemus goes to see Jesus. You know why? He goes at night to see Jesus because he can't show the world that he needs a Savior. In the day, he can't appear to need a single thing. So there is some security in the darkness that enables him to be vulnerable. He can only really reveal his needs when he knows he will not be seen. It was at night that he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Another way to say the same thing is like this: "Rabbi, you can do what I can't." Do you know how hard it is for some people to say something like that? Do you know how hard it is for a grown man to say something like that? Do you know how hard it is for a working mother trying to juggle raising kids with a career to admit to the world how impossible her life sometimes feels? It is a hard thing for every person who is like Nicodemus. It is hard for all of us who are supposed to know where we are going to stop and ask for direction. It's hard for all of us who are used to helping people to admit that we need a little bit of help for ourselves. When you think you're supposed to know everything, you think you can't be seen asking too many questions. There's a great Jerry Clower story that Nicodemus kind of reminds me of. Called The Chauffeur and the Professor. Now, Brother Clower can tell this story better than I ever could. I encourage you to listen to his version as soon as possible. The gist of the story is that a genius-level professor has been going around the nation making this incredible speech with the same chauffeur driving him around and listening to this speech every stop along the way. Eventually, the chauffeur tells the professor that he's memorized this speech and could probably make that speech better than the great PhD ever could. Even though he hasn't graduated from that great school of mines, he's just an uneducated chauffeur, but he's sure that he can make that speech. The professor, wanting to put this too big for his britches chauffeur back in his place, agrees. They swap clothes on the way to the next venue. So before this huge university crowd is the chauffeur wearing the professor's clothes and the professor in the back of the room wearing the chauffeur's clothes. Brother Clower goes on to say that before this huge audience, the chauffeur made that speech. In fact, in Clower's words, he forever shelled down the corn. He shelled down the corn all the way to the cob. Jerry Clower translation, he made that speech very well. And the crowd, so amazed, throwed their books into the air, screamed out in jubilation, gave him a standing ovation. Once they had finally been calmed down, the university president invited the crowd, if they would like to ask any questions. Now that meant trouble. The chauffeur had the speech memorized, but he hadn't thought about Q&A. And a very intelligent looking young man lifted up his hand and proceeded to ask the most detailed question that you've ever heard, involving something about carbon dating, stratospheres, and the layers of the Earth's crust. The chauffeur, dressed up like a professor, listened to the question. You would imagine that he was sweating, but he kept his cool. He took off his glasses like this, and he said, "A young man, as long as I've been given this speech throughout North America's most prestigious universities, that's about the most simplest question anyone has ever asked. I'm surprised this university let in someone who would ask a question that simple. In fact, it's so simple, I'll just let my chauffeur who's in the back of the room answer that question for you." Now this story, I think it's funny because the professor is wearing the chauffeur's clothes, but the truth is that to some degree or another, every professor always feels like a chauffeur in professor's clothes. The truth is that to some degree or another, the preacher always feels like a sinner in preacher's clothes. The truth is that to some degree or another, we all feel like imposters, fakers, travelers just on the way to perfection while the world seems to want us to have made it there already. Who among us is a complete self-made man or woman? Who among us is self-sufficient? Who among us knows what we're doing and has it all together? We point our fingers at entitlement in the world while knowing that we all depend on so much help that just the idea that we're doing fine is but a mirage. Knowing that he must keep up such an image, knowing that he must keep such a mirage intact, Nicodemus goes to see Jesus at night, and you know why. It's because the world wants to put him up on a pedestal that he would love to come down from. It's because the act that he's keeping up is wearing him down, but he can't get off the hamster wheel. It's because he has a need, but is afraid to ask for help. So he goes on to see the Savior at night, and this is what the Savior says. "You must be born again." Nicodemus asked, "How can anyone be born again after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" What's going on here is Nicodemus is resisting the idea of starting over. He's resisting the thought of being as helpless as a newborn, Having made it this far, how can I begin again? Having built up so much respect in the world, how can I bow down to this Jesus of Galilee in my need? It's as though he's asking, I've built up this life for myself, and you want me to just give it away? The answer is yes. We see it again and again in the Bible. The rich young ruler must walk away from the life he has in order to gain eternal life. Later in John's gospel, Jesus will say, those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What does all that mean? It means that if you're so afraid of losing what you have, if you're so afraid of losing what you have that you won't admit that you need some help, you're about to lose it anyway. It means that if you're so consumed with appearing perfect to this world that you won't ever show vulnerability, then get ready, because your dirty laundry's about to start exposing you and what's really going on in your house sooner or later. It means that people like Nicodemus, people like us, may as well risk being a little more real than we have been, because that's the only way we are ever going to get right. And our really strange Old Testament lesson with all the snakes, we heard how people were hiding in the shadows with their snake bites, and in order to be healed, they had to come out into the light of day, revealing their wounds. Doesn't that sound like a good word for us to hear today? We who present to the world a polished image that says, I'm doing just fine, when really we're drowning in debt, our kids drive us crazy, and we could sure use some help. Well, guess what? We're never going to get the help that we need until we're willing to cry out. We're never going to be saved until we admit that we need to be saved. We'll never be able to be found until we're ready to admit that we're lost. We are covered in shadow. So step into the light. And the light, there is no condemnation, but only healing. In Christ, there is life and not death. Show him your wounds and find healing. Confess to him your sins and find forgiveness. Kneel before the Savior of the world in need and find love. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.